there's 100% chance this woman would show up to your door completely naked this evening with just one snap.
All right. Welcome to Tennis Sucks, everybody. We're back on the court. A little break, a little week break. I was away, but we're back. With big news, actually. Worst week for me to take a break off. Huge news happened.
Yeah,
we couldn't get the pod out. But we're back. I wanted to ask you guys about some new physical fitness routines you guys have been doing. What have you guys been up to?
I mean, I'm a Neanderthal, as Graham likes to say. What's the thing you say to me? I'm a caveman, and all I need next is like my little cloak or attire.
Yeah, yeah.
Something. Okay, anyway. Like,
yeah, it's like a loincloth.
Yeah, there you go. Because he asked me what I do throughout my day.
Am I right?
Yeah, I'm a moron.
Then what'd you do today? So, give me your schedule for today.
I went to yoga, hot yoga at 12.
Okay.
Then I went straight to make fun of you while you worked out with Connor. And then I worked out with Connor.
Okay.
And then I went straight to practice.
Okay.
And now I'm here.
Did you run here or did you get in a car?
Didn't have time to run. Straight here.
Okay, got it. And what do you do when you go home? Some kind of other physical activity?
I watch pickleball.
All right.
Yeah, but no, I've been pushing this for a while because Graham, as we all know, is doing a 225-pound challenge, which is the dumbest thing ever. He wants to lift 225 pounds benching because only 1% of the population can do it. I've been telling Graham since the beginning that he's going to harm himself. Do you remember this, by the way?
Yep.
He's going to hurt himself.
Yep, we have that on tape.
A week ago, I said, Graham, how are you doing on the lifting? So I haven't been able to lift. Why? Shoulders hurt. Can't work out. So this is not surprising. So anyway, I tell Graham, hey, man, you know, I'm really concerned about you. You're my dear, dear, dear friend. I think you need to really do some yoga. So I finally get him into the yoga room. And I pay for it. I get there early. I use one of my passes. I even set up him a nice Lululemon mat right next to mine to make sure he has a good spot.
That was a nice mat,
It's a great fucking mat. And, you know, I walk in. I ask them, can I video this? Because this is going to be amazing. And they say no. All right. So it's about 8 to 10 people in there. And Graham walks in.
Oh, it was way more than 10.
No, it wasn't. It was probably 8 to 10 when you arrived. It got to about 18.
Oh,
but when
okay.
you arrived,
yeah, yeah.
8 to 10. Dead silent. Everyone's like getting in their little vibe. Graham walks in, full decibels. If you know Graham, he talks very loud.
I do?
So loud. Especially
I have to
tackle.
Turn you down on the edit.
Yeah, yeah. I talk too loud.
You just have a loud voice. It's not like a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's
you
just
have a loud voice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And your cackle, it can be heard from like miles away.
Yeah, that I know, but yeah. I didn't know I had a loud voice. I'm going to work on that.
And so Graham walks in and says something, something of the likelihood, like, why is it so quiet in here? in full loud, and I look at him like, Graham, shut the fuck up. You can't talk in here. Why? You can't talk in here? No. And then I have to say, like, Graham, you're fucking embarrassing me.
Is this like an actual rule in the studio, or it's an unspoken rule?
It's just common sense. It's like you don't come out here and call balls that are 3 inches in out. Like, it's a rule. Yes, you don't do it.
It's like walking behind a court when people are playing.
Sure. Yeah. That's even better. Sorry, mine was a bad example.
Yeah.
That's a way better example. You don't walk behind. And then, so everyone, of course, their eyes peek up like, who's this fucking numbnuts? Not to mention, he walks in with like a hat. He probably walked in with shoes and socks on. I didn't notice that part. Or did you walk in with normal?
I had shoes and socks on, yeah.
When you walked into the studio? Or when you walked towards the mat? Okay, either way, the hat was on, which I was like flabbergasted. It looked like he was walking straight out the Crescent to play pickleball. Had no context of like walking into a yoga studio and how you behave or what you do.
Connor came with the hat too, though.
That was very surprising.
Okay, so I took the hat off. I took my shoes off. I got a little more quiet.
You got a lot more quiet.
All right, fine.
And then we start out, and you know, I'm thinking in my head, like, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep it together here. We start off with some sun salutations, you know, deep breath, arms up.
Oh, speaking of which, this place stunk like BO. Like,
no, it doesn't.
Like, you wouldn't believe.
No, it does
the
not.
The second I walked in the door, it like hit me like a ton of bricks. I think that's what I was telling you when I walked in. And then they want me to take deep, relaxing breaths.
You know what's funny is Connor actually stated how good it smells.
Thank you. Oh, Connor's out of his mind.
It's also, that can't be argued. It's also one of the cleanest studios I've ever seen.
The studio was clean. The smell was horrible.
Okay. Anyway, point is during the sun salutations, I know that Graham's probably like never done a breathing exercise like this in his life. And I think all I can think of is this cynical prick is probably mocking this so much in his head. And I like see it in my corner of my eye, my peripherals, this little smirk like. And I just start fucking busting up. Like, I cannot stop laughing. And I'm trying to mutter it, keep it down. to where I literally have to like find my drishti. I have to look at a point on the wall and I'm like, stop thinking about fucking Graham.
You need to find his, just to find his drishti. Focus.
Just focus.
I never found my drishti.
Graham never found his drishti. That's for sure. So beyond that, Graham, except for a few postures where he looked super awkward and he can't even get close to touching his toes. Like for a 40-year-old man, his flexibility is that of an 88-year-old. Like he needs this more than anybody on earth. We get to the end where we're doing our final Shavasana. And Graham, do you want to take it from there, please? What were you confused about then?
Nothing was confused. We're just laying. I'm like, okay, they give you 5 minutes to lay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is kind of nice. This I'm liking, right? And then all of a sudden, they're playing this like weird Indian music. Bing, 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 bong, 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 bong. And all of a sudden, the guy says, in like in a really quiet voice, he goes, now, on the count of five, I want you to start coming back to reality.
No, coming back to consciousness.
Come back to consciousness. And I'm like, what? He's fucking wide awake. What are you talking about?
A lot of people fall asleep.
Start moving your fingers.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was supposed to lose my consciousness. No one told me that. Like, that I think so people were falling asleep in there or something. But I was fully awake. Thinking about what was going on outside. And apparently I wasn't supposed to be, but that part cracked me up actually because I was shocked that he was telling me to come back to consciousness.
Oh my God. That's okay. Wild. I can't believe that was your first yoga experience, Graham.
I've done yoga, but not formal like that. It was very formal.
It's very formal.
And we were like the only dudes in there, of course. So I know why Travis goes.
And then he calls me out after. He's like, so I'm like, so you and a lot of housewives, you and a lot of housewives getting together every
day. It was a parking lot full of minivans.
Gotta keep that
Travis,
ass tight.
I swear to you, every spot was a badly parked minivan.
That's not true.
A lot of minivans there.
That's because you didn't do the hot one. The hot one's some young ass in there.
But it was a different experience. I'm glad I did it.
And you need it.
And it actually felt good. When I was done, I was like, you know what? On the courts that day, I did feel like a little more rejuvenated. I did.
And have you booked another class?
No, I haven't.
I will.
Maybe I'll
you
do
should.
It.
You should. Yoga's amazing for you.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I wonder how many pro pickleballers actually do yoga regularly. Is it a lot? Yeah.
More and more. I mean, tennis got huge.
Yeah.
Like Novak's obviously an enormous advocate.
Our class was not difficult, though. That was an easy class. I could tell.
I want you to do one hot. Like for my birthday or something. Just do one hot.
Okay.
Speaking of hot, though, I mean, I've heard that, Graham, you're quite a hot commodity on Crescent Lake courts today.
Wish everyone wouldn't act so shocked.
Yeah, so I amazingly caught wind through the grapevine that there's a particular patron here that's rather attractive, and she has a crush on Graham and actually described him as hot, and she begged this human being to set her up with Graham. And yes, to me, it was very surprising. Very surprising.
No shock.
She also wanted me, not much less surprising, but she was far more into Graham. Again, very surprising. But he says, do you have this happen how often, Graham? Bi-monthly? Is that what you stated?
I was exaggerating a bit. It's happened a couple times in my life. I'm sure
so 3 to 4 times over the last 40 years is not bi-monthly, where someone's literally throwing themselves at
you. It could be happening a lot and just no one knows about it.
Like, there's 100% chance this woman would show up to your door completely naked this evening with just one snap.
It's a lot of power, Graham.
Graham's a powerful man.
Yeah.
In this 30-by-30-yard region.
Exactly.
Outside of here, he's a nobody.
Maybe that's his trick, just announcing himself very loudly when he enters spaces just to make sure that...
Cackling loudly, interrupting things.
All right, we better get to some pickleball news. Right. Let's kick off with the big ticket item, which is the draft, probably what everyone's excited to hear about. How long has it been? 6 months now?
The merger, final? You mean? The merger or the draft?
The merger.
The merger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 6 months, but probably going on, a year and a half?
Yeah.
With the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty amazing that it finally went through. Everything is signed. Funding secured. I was notified towards the end of February that I would be paid on March 4th, which was fantastic. A lot of us players hadn't been paid. Our contracts were now being honored. You know, we're now going to have a lot of players that are back to playing full-time and getting paid to do so as opposed to wondering how they're going to make it work.
And so what was the lead-up? How involved were you guys at the point of the signing process? Did you know a lot leading into it, or?
Well, Graham, you can probably speak on that more. Remember they sent out that email. They were kind of getting a vote from all the ownership groups to ensure that this is where we wanted to go. And I don't think there was a lot of choice, you know, at that point. You know, the initial action by the powers that be put us in a position where we had these enormous payouts, enormous contracts, and that funding wasn't secured. So without the funding, the league was pretty much fucked. And now the league has a lot of runway and I think can do a lot of good things in the next few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we knew a little bit ahead of time. We were told the date, the 29th, and it landed on the 29th, so.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to start calling you Ka-ching.
Why is that?
Because you add about as much. So I'll be Jimmy, and you can be Ka-ching, because he's looking at you for words, and you're like, yeah, I knew stuff.
I spaced out a little bit.
No shit, Graham. You always space out.
Are you still thinking about that girl that we want to see?
I was actually thinking
I'll
about
let
the,
you know who it is.
The yoga sleeping.
Oh, maybe you lost consciousness. You want to stop wiggling your toes and fingers?
Can you guys remind me to come back to consciousness?
Yeah. You start wiggling your toes and your fingers.
All right. Well, yeah, Graham, tell us a little bit. Your experience of the last few moments leading up to the merger.
You know, I feel like about a month ago was the first time ever that I felt the merge was a real possibility. And in the last 2 weeks, for sure, because you started seeing the documents to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the 29th, they got enough in place. We all signed and there's officially a merge. And now we'll see, you know, it's one thing to have a merge on paper. It's another thing to have a merge like in concept and in reality. Right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Is it truly going to be this kumbaya moment where PPA and MLP work alongside each other to grow both products?
Mm. Like,
that's the real question.
You know, right. I genuinely think it will. I didn't have that expectation before, but just based on the two guys that were so instrumental in getting this done on the MLP side, Al Tylus and Jason Stein, their status alongside Tom Dundon, I think that they're just big, big fish. You know, I don't think Tom's going to want to go to war with them. I think they have previous business dealings. I think they have a good
Tom doesn't want to go to war with me.
Not here at Crescent, Graham. You got a lot of clout.
Don't
here.
Do it, Dundon.
All right, fair enough. You know,
but
I will say this.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense either, because now basically all the shareholders, we'll call them, mm-hmm. of NewCo own 50% of both entities. So why would you want to chop off one of those legs?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. Right. So... Mm. It's in everyone's best interest to make them both successful now, right?
So you both would say you're happy with everything, the way it's like where we're at?
Or I am.
I'm happier than not playing MLP, that's for sure, yeah.
And we're getting word that what, the first event will be around March? Or sorry, May?
I think so. I think it's a Florida event. The beginning of May. Yep. First week of May.
That's awesome.
Is what they're shooting for.
Does that make the schedule and the season have to adapt because we've missed a couple events now, I think?
Well, yeah. Or? So our contracts, those of us that signed these new deals after our prior, they're going from March to March. So essentially, I think that our requirements will be the same. They'll just be a different 12-month period.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And then news of a draft, where is that at? What's the situation?
I'm just told soon, as soon as possible. So my gut tells me within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's pretty quick. That's really quick.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we're in March already.
Yep.
It's got to happen, I would imagine, this month.
Yeah. I'd hope so.
So we can start making accommodations for these players that have to travel.
So all the players got paid, which means that all the players renegotiated and signed their contracts.
Not necessarily.
Not all.
I've heard different.
We've heard of quite a few players getting buyouts, one, and I'm intrigued by that because I don't know what they're going to do.
Offered buyouts and some of them took the buyouts?
Some of them took the buyouts.
Okay. But those are mostly people that are towards the bottom of the contracts, meaning the players that are maybe 80th through 110?
Yeah, most.
Not the top people aren't getting offered buyouts. Like
some people got offered buyouts.
Oh, really? Even up top?
Not
like
top,
the bigger
not
contracts?
Not the top, but no.
Did you get offered a buyout?
No, I did not.
Would
but
you
I
take it?
I never negotiated that.
What would be the benefit for them taking a buyout? Like, what would the... So they could
I don't know. You know, just money now, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. And then kind of freedom to see what happens over the next 12 to 18 months.
I think also a fear of not actually playing or being picked up by a team for those ones that are towards the bottom.
Right.
And just being used to, you know, work clinic.
Be an instructor.
Just to work a whole lot of hours for that money, whereas they could take a bit of cash now and get what they want.
I've referenced to everybody that I've talked to about this is like, for me personally, I just want to play. I just wanted to play. You know, yeah. I wanted to play against the best players. That was still really important to me. And you know, some people are very, very concerned about what I would say relatively is not a lot of money. It's like, well, do you want to drift into obscurity or do you want to keep playing pickleball and, you know, trying to acquire sponsors and build the game and play against the best players? Like, if you didn't do that, if you didn't sign it, I don't see how you do that. I just think you're going to be non-existent.
And then, So what about the top ones that maybe didn't, like, did you say not sign or not? What is
so we have rumors that.
Yeah, we've heard basically that some players haven't negotiated a new contract yet. So in essence, what they asked was for all the players to take some kind of cut, right? 40%, I think, was the ask.
The original ask.
Of the original contract. So if you were offered $100,000, then they were asking you to take $60,000 a year instead of $100,000. Mm-hmm. And some players said, no, that's not going to work for me, and probably asked for something different or to stay where they were.
Yep.
And they've been negotiating this for the last, whatever, several months and haven't come to an agreement. Well, since the merger is signed, the rumor is that they basically will just honor the prior contract. But what's the downside to that? They honor the prior contract, but they're not going to play?
No, they can play, but you have to play 200 days or do 200 days of events.
Whereas if
MLB.
You renegotiated, you don't have to do 200 days? You just have to play?
I just have to play, yeah. I have to do a certain amount of
events.
Well,
they eliminated the 200 on your new contract.
Yeah, I don't have 200 days anymore.
What's the days? What does it look like, your contract? Like, is it?
Well, I can't speak to that.
Oh,
okay. I'm not allowed to.
All right, so it basically looks like
it's not days.
20 events.
It's events. It's events-oriented.
20 events.
Yes.
You've got, you're something, required something to play 20 events.
Well, yeah, that's not the number, but yes, mine is now based on events, not days.
Okay, so then those people more than likely will play all these events, but then they'll also be working another 100 days on top of that. In order to make back some of that money from the contract.
No, they'll be playing MLP events, but they will not play PPA events. Because if they do play PPA events, they have to pay all of their expenses. They pay their registration. They have to pay a certain amount of money to MLP in their original contract.
But what about PPA contracts then that didn't renegotiate? The exact opposite? They can only play PPA, not MLP? And
I don't know. I don't know. That I can't speak to.
But it's not like what we're hearing. It's not like small names. It's,
really?
It's some big names. Like, I think like, I mean, I don't know. Is a rumor. We don't know for sure, but like the Johnsons.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
Wait, like which Johnsons?
Hunter and Yates.
Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Hunter and Yates.
Okay.
Riley Newman.
Riley Newman.
Wow, that
would
be huge.
That's a big one. So who knows? I would think with people that are that recognizable in the sport, they'll eventually come to an agreement that makes sense.
Yeah.
But for now, those people are in limbo on exactly what they're...
Yeah. Wild.
What they're going to be doing this year.
Interesting.
Yeah. Does it feel like MLP players are being punished for signing an MLP contract?
No, I mean, I think it did originally with the contract renegotiations. I don't think the renegotiations with the PPA players were nearly as aggressive as they were with the MLP players. Because the ones that were PPA players, they were already based on events already. So maybe they just segmented like, okay, well, instead of, and I'm just giving a number, maybe instead of, hey, you play 20 events, now you have to play 12 PPAs and you have to play 8 MLPs and you're washed. Because there was no way to, I mean, and I'm sure, look, a lot of them probably took a cut, but there was definitely more, the contracts for players originally were better if you signed a PPA.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to see how that unfolds because, you know, those players are important at this moment in pickleball and should get a, you know, similar shake, I guess, to everyone else.
But they're not that important. The sport's going to go on.
Yeah, yeah, but they're important in a different way. They're an important in a,
look,
like
at
you,
end,
like if, you know, if you weren't playing, it's important to
not
this
really.
Local, this yes, it is. It
yeah, this, to this community, maybe it affects this slightly, but it's like, not really. Like the show goes on, you know? It's like, I'll give you an example.
It's important for the reputation of pickleball. How about that?
Okay, fair, fine. Fair, but what they did with now this Holdco and these tours merging is the right thing. It is the best thing. It has to move forward this way. So it's unfortunate if the players aren't recognizing that and are trying to hold out for a little extra cash at the moment. Like, I get it. I'm not you know, going against anyone doing that. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. I just think there's a lot more to be lost doing it that way than signing and moving forward and playing pickleball the way. You know, unless you don't want to play pickleball. Like, I want to play. I like playing. I want to play. Some people are probably like, fuck it. I've been playing for 5 years. I'm not interested. I just want to get some cash.
Speaking of PPA contracts, I've got some something to show you guys about another type of PPA contract, which is the Vulcan Ball contract.
Oh, yeah?
I got a new edition.
You got it
of,
already?
A ball.
Random, no one's seen it yet, so I'm going to show you guys. Are you ready? It's called the Vulcan Star and plays just about as good as the current Vulcan.
Interesting. You know,
I've trained with these in the past.
How does that work?
It kind of reminds me of the memes. It kind of reminds me of like the memes of pickleball thing when they did the Dennis Rodman, like here, 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 here. Like if you drop this, there's no predictability on the bounce and, you know.
Well, Graham and I are going to get some feedback
you
on it. So
guys,
I'm going to get Graham to play with this and we'll post it on our Tennis Sucks Instagram account. So if you want to see
us
play.
The new Vulcan version too.
The Vulcan Star.
Vulcan Star.
You know, in all seriousness, I've been told that they are going to work on the ball, that they're getting feedback. And I think they're pretty committed to making a good ball, which I hope they are, because it's been very difficult. It's not a bad scenario, I guess. I don't really know how to talk on it. Everything is fine about the ball except the fact that it goes out of round. You know, and if it goes out of round, it's very, very hard to play and trust it. But I think they have the intention of fixing it.
All right. So next thing was, I had a note here that paddle technology is ruining your game. Is that you, Travis, that wrote that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at like the crossroads. So I mean, I hear a lot all the time. It's funny. I actually watched an article, which I sent you today, or a video that I sent you today. That spaghetti string tennis thing. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that like a new tennis technology?
No, it was a tennis technology in like the 70s and 80s where really guys that were relatively average players were suddenly beating some of the best players in the world because they had this unique string thing insertion that was creating the ball to bounce all various directions. And I think at the moment we're at like that pivotal crossroad where racquetball got too fast. People had to start wearing protective eyewear. You know, nobody was wearing protective eyewear, obviously, in pickleball 2 years ago, even a year ago. And now suddenly, like, Tyson said something about this. I would be really interested to see from just a year ago if you did purely two things. One, measure how long the points have been relative to what they were last year. And two, how fast maybe like the forehand is coming through the court. It's got to be substantially faster. And obviously that has to do with the paddles. And obviously, I mean, I think the ball as well is a little bit fast, especially when it's cold. Like the ball really, really adjusts to the conditions not very well. But I'm concerned that it's just going to get outrageously quick and we're going to kind of lose that nuance that makes the game so fun and so enjoyable at a higher level. And yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
I'm seeing a lot of D-Lam paddles now in rec, more than I ever have. I don't know what it is, but it's almost every game I play now, I play a D-Lam paddle.
It's constant.
Yola, constant. I mean, there's some brands that it's constant. It's every paddle I play against.
Dwell,
less than 2%. I've been keeping track.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What's your warranty?
You know of?
Yeah, what's your warranty on delammed dwell paddles?
I'll give you a new one.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. Do you think it's just that regular players don't know when it's delammed? I mean, how many people recognize it?
No, players don't.
Really?
Not rec players. Yeah, you tell them and they can't believe it.
Or you don't think our man Dan over there knows that he's using a delam?
He does not.
But
I yelled at him yesterday about it.
Fucking
I yelled at him yesterday and he goes, what's wrong with it? And I was like, it's a D-LAM paddle. I was like, you already hit it hard enough. Why? Yeah, I'm telling you, he's an example of doesn't know.
Well, then he's not paying attention. Because if you pay attention
I don't think
at all,
people understand that there's such thing as a delaminated paddle.
But I'm saying it's common sense. Like the one people's paddle are coming off 10 miles an hour slower than yours.
You just think that you hit it harder than them.
Oh,
or your paddle's
a fucking
better.
Superman.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, like when you open a jar and it like has that little pop on it, you know it's open. I feel like they should have a little thing you can push in your paddle to know if it's delammed.
You can do that.
Oh,
if you press,
really?
Yeah, if you press on like the this. Center of, if you put it up to your ear and press on the center of a delammed paddle, it crackles.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But people don't know to do that. That's what I'm saying. They don't even know that their paddle's delammed to even do any checks to find out. They just think it's the paddle.
Why don't you put a PSA out right now, Graham? You could help people.
That's the one.
I actually don't mind delaminated paddles.
In black right there.
What's going on with you?
That's who.
We're in the middle of a podcast right now. Luke, don't be shocked with
that's
him.
That's who wants the D.
I'm not shocked.
You're not?
At least the law of averages says 3 to 4 times every 4 years. So someone will find you that.
No, he said a couple times in my life. That's once a decade. All right, moving on. Sorry.
Caveman. Literally.
Yeah, 100%.
Works out all day.
Libido's high.
Hold on. I have to restart.
Yeah, all you just first off, you can hear it when someone's playing it immediately. Yep. The ball comes off faster, but if you really want to check, just go and press on the paddle. Yep. It makes a crackling noise. And like broken glue. Yeah. It sounds like broken glue under your paddle.
And everyone should do a solid to other players and actually swap out their paddle when they
I don't mind D-Lam paddles, honestly. I mean, I think that, yes, it makes the ball come off fast, but players that are out here, it makes them miss more, too.
Oh.
So, like, I get a lot more errors out of people that have D-Lam paddles, so I don't mind playing them because I know that more than half their balls are out.
Oh, okay. A little late on this, but I'd like to do a little recap of Mesa. Travis, do you want to give us the rundown of, like, how things went for you, like, highlights, lowlights?
God. That was the lowest I've ever felt in pickleball, probably in Mesa. I don't even know where to start. I don't think I'm going to start on that one. It didn't go well. Lacey and I should have won. We actually played okay. It was, you know, not to make an excuse, but sometimes it's very difficult with my existence to get to a site early. And the conditions are just so different there than Florida. And I got there, I don't know, 18 hours before I play. And so Lacey and I were up 11-7, 4-0-1 against Marietta and Pablo. We ended up losing that game 11-9. Then we were up 9-5-1, 9-7-1, 9-9-1. And we just couldn't get over the line. Credit to Pablo and Marietta. They played very well down the stretch. Made some great digs. But a match we should have won for sure. That I walked off and I was like, God, I played like shit. And we were still right there. And then in doubles, we won our first match, me and AJ Kohler, against Michael Lloyd and Pesa Teone, which had fireworks for no reason. Pesa and AJ were getting into it. It was really weird. Like, it wasn't fun fireworks. It wasn't funny. It wasn't, like, humorous. It was just stupid.
By fireworks, you mean, like, just chirping?
They were just, like, yelling at each other.
Oh.
And, like, and I looked at AJ. I was like, hey, are you, do you have beef with him or something? No, I'm just having fun. I was like, dude, this isn't fun. Like, we're up 11-5, 6-0. Just shut the fuck up and let's just play. But then Pesa, like, started, like, literally going to the line and in our face if you miss, like, a volley. And I finally looked at him. I was like, hey, just tone it down. Tone it down. And he was like, don't tell me what to do. And I got a little chippy then, which I shouldn't have. But anyway, I went up to him the next day and, you know, all was good. I was like, hey, and he was cool about it. He said, no, I was just trying to change everything up because we were getting killed. So I figured I'd try to yell at you and get in your face. I was like, that I understand, that I respect. No problems. So nothing there. And then the next day we played Pat Smith and Jay DeVillier. And let's just say AJ didn't have his best day. Didn't seem all that enthusiastic about being there. And I was pretty pissed. Didn't feel very happy about the outcome, nor the preparation, nor the strategy, nor anything. And, you know, I think that's all I'm going to say about it.
Mm. Did you watch any of that, Graham?
I didn't watch that match. I'm supposed to. I'm going to see how ridiculous it was. But I watched some PPA Mesa. I watched Mari Humberg.
She got the Tennis Sucks bump.
Yeah.
Which we should trademark now. There should be an excuse to come on the podcast. I think,
Mari,
right?
Played great. She's super aggressive. But yeah, she and Georgia Johnson got bronze. Is that correct?
Yeah. And they won it against Vivian David and Anna Bright.
Third, fourth. No, of course. That's incredible.
And dominated. I think they did it in two straight.
Yeah. I mean, she is very, very high risk.
But in this match, didn't have a ton of errors. It was all go and not a lot of missing, which tough to beat that.
Mm-hmm. No, of course. Not tough to beat that. And she definitely probably has, I'm going to put it as the second best female flick behind Marietta Wright.
It's nasty.
It's more spinny. Marietta has more force, but she really rolls the hell out of it. I think she can improve a lot too, which is great to see because there's certain things that I watched and I'm like, oh, that's not smart and that's not a good idea. But she's got a lot of really, really great skills and uses them. And I think she's going to continue to improve. So big shout out to Mary for that, Mari for that result.
And she played a lot of left side.
She played primarily
with Georgia, which is another testament.
She said that, you know, 90% of the balls were going to her. And it was funny because I actually felt like that started for the tournament. Then as the tournament went away, they moved away from her.
A little player
started to move away from her and hit more balls to Georgia.
Yeah.
But she was like, hey, if they're going to hit all the balls to me, we might as well put me on my best side. And that's smart.
You know, that'll get her partners, though, right? Like, a result like that gets you partners.
It should. It should. It should. The problem is like, at this juncture, a lot of the partnerships are already established. Yeah. And as we've known, and I think it's even more scarce on the women's side, I don't think there's a ton of really high-level women. I think it's under 8 that can really compete. And so if Mari's going to make that push, let's say where she's making quarter semis on the reg, she needs to get one of those 8 women, and I don't know if they're available. So, you know, Georgia might be your best partner, because if those two get hot, that's tough to beat.
Yeah.
You know, they might have some bad L's just because they're both hyper-aggressive and they're going to miss, but if they are hot, they're going to be very, very good.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. So, are you headed to the indoor championships, Minnesota?
I'm headed to Minnesota tomorrow. I got Zane, which I'm very excited about. I think he's a stable, mentally solid guy who's got a lot of skills. And then in mixed, I'm playing with Lacey again. So hopefully we can post a result. I'm anxious to play with good conditions. The conditions for the events I've played so far, Mesa and the Masters, were super, super cold. Some visibility issues in Mesa. So it'll be nice to have just a clean, good game without any chaos.
Are you going to play right side for Zane?
I think I'm going to play primarily right.
Cool.
Zane's much better than me off the two-hander on the left. So I think that me playing right is a good decision.
Cool. Excellent. I also heard that you guys together did a little duo action last weekend. You played a money ball?
Oh, yeah.
We did. Yeah. Graham had...
It's Travis's first cash of the year. You're welcome. I hope you put that in your savings account.
Speaking of, you still owe me $60.
I do, actually. Good thing my crypto's up. I got you.
It's up a lot.
I had a 60% increase in 24 hours on a coin.
How crazy is that?
About as crazy as the 100% decreases I saw over the last 2 years.
Okay, but there was one coin, Mog coin right now, Mog crypto. It's up 3,100% in the past month.
Dang it.
Damn.
I gotta get on those altcoins.
You gotta get on those altcoins, bro.
I try to talk coin language now.
Please it's ridiculous. Don't. Please stop. Just don't.
Don't worry. The ladies will start becoming way too aggressive if you start doing crypto. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Anyway, you owe me $60. Yeah, we did play. Graham played great. Steady Eddie. I'm 100% convinced Graham and I would have beaten AJ and I badly in Mesa. And
have you seen all the ATP and Ernie highlights I've been putting out from that Moneyball?
Dude, you have endless highlights.
Every day I get a new one from somebody randomly.
The question is how many of those Ernies were you actually safe on? Because the only one where my eyes went like this, you were in.
I actually didn't tell you this. Yeah, did you know about this?
No.
I hit this great Ernie, and both the guys at the baseline, they're both congratulating me, saying that was nice, good move, congrats.
I'm watching your feet.
Travis is like this. He was in the kitchen.
Oh man!
Sorry. I felt bad about it, but he didn't feel bad. His whole foot was literally inside the line.
He was in the kitchen. You guys get the point. Thanks, Trav.
And we know Graham's never jumped, so he does his little round the circle
Lee
waddle
Whitwell special.
Yeah, he does exactly. He's the Lee Whitwell special, and if I can anticipate that early,
it is what it is.
He did have one double Ernie too, where he sat there and he came right back to him. And he popped it off twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the best part was in the final, I told Graham, I was like, hey, look, they're going to be coming at you firm. The only thing is off of his paddle, just Drew Holder uses some kinetic lightning bolt paddle. Like, just get the fuck out of the way. Okay. Everything's going long. Just get out of the way. First 4 points, Graham gets hit 3 times on balls that are going way out. I get pissed, and he's like, all right, don't get negative on me. It's 2-1. We're only down
2-1. It was a 1-1, I found out, too. I was wrong about the score. It was 1-1, and you're on my case.
I was like, dude, all I'm telling you is duck.
Okay, I got out of the way, finally, and we won the match 15-3 in the finals. So he was getting mad at me for that. Yes, I took a couple of body bags. He was crushing me. The guy was crushing balls.
But yes, I had a great time. It was very enjoyable, appreciative to Bardmore and Jack for putting on the event. It was fun. And shout out to Matt Troyer. Matt Troyer was the best player we played against that day. He was a fucking monster. Played great. And yeah, it was fun. I hope we can do more of them.
Nice. I'll try and get some footage of the next one. I know I missed out on this one, but...
Luke, we are not going to forgive you for that.
I know.
Yeah, so we show up, Graham. You want to tell this one? Because Graham likes to complain about this one. I'll throw Luke under the bus.
Yeah, sure.
So Graham apparently tells me in the morning, I'm going to wake up early. I got to go get our mics because we want to mic up because Graham always says I'm so mean to him on the court, which is not true. I'm fine. And he goes to Luke's, apparently waits for like 15 minutes while Luke empties out all the SIM cards to make sure that we have space. Microphones, we put them on when we get to the courts. 5 minutes, we have them on. We walk over to the side, full. Graham's like, fucking Luke. Sat there for 20 fucking minutes to get these cards empty.
It wasn't quite that mean.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
I didn't say fucking Luke.
It looked good. No, I tested it like before he left.
Damn it.
It worked. But he woke me up out of bed. He said he was coming over at 9:30 and then he got here so early. Yeah.
I said 9:30.
You said 9:30. So I was waiting for the tournament starts at 9:30.
Yeah, I can't come to you at 9:30.
It wasn't clear. So
yeah,
thank you for saying
he does that a lot.
It was early.
So
I'll give Luke that. I felt bad.
No, next time I'll get some, I promise.
We forgive you this once. We won't forget, but we forgive.
The other person that we gave a Tennis Sucks boost to, which actually was before I produced it, Carson Campbell?
Cason Campbell.
We got to talk about that boy really quick.
Yeah, tell us.
I mean, so a funny storyline about Cason Campbell really quick. About 8 months ago, I get a thing in my inbox DM'd, and some dad is like, hey, I have a son who plays pickleball. He's pretty good. Any chance you could play with him? And I honestly get these pretty often. So I was like, hey, I appreciate you reaching out, but, you know, I don't hit with people unless they're my friends for free, really. Like, I just don't. So, like, I'm happy to, you want to pay me and I'll give them a lesson. I'm happy to do that. Like, sure. Well, happy to pay for your time. So I come out, kid's got the ripped hat. He looks, you know, like a little disheveled, which I actually admire. I like that. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? Like, I want to play singles and then we can do some doubles game. I don't know a lot about doubles. Okay. You play tennis? Yeah, I used to play tennis. Okay. First couple balls were warming up. I'm like, shit, kid's got good technique. He's good. First 5 or 6 points, I'm down 5-1. And I'm just like, shit. Like, I can't charge this guy if he smokes me. So I end up coming back to win the singles game, fortunately. But it became very clear, like, oh, this kid's really talented. And he was not good in the dubs games at that point. Like, he just was not good. But watching his improvement and his elevation, and just the kid has such a positive attitude, fun to be around, humble. To watch him have those results and to see that he's hungry and only going to get better. You know, I mean, the guy beat Dylan Frazier, pushed Jack Sock to 3 games, beat Colin Schick, and did it in style. It was like, good for Cason Campbell. You know, like, this is the future of pickleball. There's going to be a lot of these talented youngsters that come up. And he's on the front page
of pickleball.com this week, too.
Was he?
Leading up to Minnesota. He's the picture they're using for Minnesota.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's going to get better and better. Like, he's just a little stud and, you know, just... proud of the fact that he came to play here, and he seemed to give me some credit for his abilities, which I deserve none. I assure you, he had very few tips.
The Crescent Lake bump.
But he got the Crescent Lake bump, and yeah, I'm proud of him. You know, he competed really well, calls the lines fairly, great sportsmanship, like, kid's a fucking stud.
Yeah. Actually, now you said Crescent Lake, it reminded me that we got a nice dedication. The podcast and Travis did not too long ago. Funny story, the new paddle rack that arrived at Crescent Lake, which I guess we're having some permitting issues with.
When I came up the first time, I didn't fully know about this. I didn't see the names, but someone comes to me and goes, did Travis die? I'm like, I don't think so. Why?
I don't think so. You wouldn't know?
Well, who knows? It could have been the last couple hours. I didn't talk to you. And it's like, I think his memorial's over there hanging on the fence. I walk over, it's like this black paddle rack that says Travis Rettenmeier. Courts of world famous Travis Rettenmeier.
No, it doesn't say that. It said home courts of Travis Rettenmeier and the Tennis Sucks podcast. I took away the part that said legend. I want to stay humble, guys.
Yeah, it's the home of the original caveman. Travis Rettenmeier.
The dirtbag.
But yeah, it was a lot. And yeah. I don't think people were falling in love with it overnight. That's for sure.
Yeah, people were struggling with the new technique of paddles, racks. But.
I think the intention was great. We're grateful to Leo. I think that, you know, we've been at our gangster courts here. We've been doing it in a certain manner for so long. It's hard to change that the way
it's people don't care about us here when it comes down to it.
Right.
There are fans and they'll support us, but they'll also be the first guys to.
Yeah. No, no, they'll keep it. They'll keep it real.
The bus.
Yeah, they'll keep it real. Keep it real for sure.
All right, let's wrap things up slightly. A couple things left. Jack Sox added a two-handed dink.
Yeah, let's talk about him really quick. So first, we got to do a little more Mesa. So Tardio and Dieskey beat the Johns brothers, make it all the way to final. Also beat
amazing.
Newman Wilson.
That was amazing.
I think that was really the indication for me that, like, the evolution of pickleball, this ball in particular, the Vulcan ball, is making the game different. And the paddles are making the game different. Guys are playing so aggressive. If you watch Tardio over that in that whole event, I think he hit three dinks in a row, like, two times. The guy is just lighting it up, lighting it up, lighting it up. Drive, crash, fades, lobs, hyper-aggressive, constantly hyper-aggressive. And I think a lot of that is attributed to this ball. That's my take.
We also said that Gay was going to be a top five male in the next year as well.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that he would have worse results if it was slower. I'm just saying that he's playing more aggressively because he's smarter than I am. Like, if the ball doesn't bounce consistently, then you obviously don't want to sit there and have it bounce eight, nine times off of a dink. You'd rather just,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's playing a really, really good style. The match of the tournament was 100% not any of those matches. It was the mixed doubles match with Jack, Catherine, Ben, and Anna Lee. Jack is so fucking athletic. It's frightening. Like, it's actually, and I made a joke with him. I was like, what do you weigh, Jack? Like, 225? And he was insulted. He was 225. I actually said 226. Because I'm like 203. And to me, he seems way bigger than me. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I meant it. This guy looks like a big, strong guy. And he moves so well. It's explosive as
a community. So what is his weight?
He says he's right around 210.
Is he taller than you? Is that why you thought
Yeah, he's
that?
Taller than me. Oh, he's wow. taller than me. He's thicker than me. He's bigger than me. And he's fucking a shit ton faster than me. I'll tell you that. But the funny thing was, so at the Masters, and you remember this, I said every guy that's a dominant player on the left side in 2 years will have a two-handed roll dink. I told him that too. I was like, you need a two-handed roller. Guy literally went home and started doing this. Two-e, 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 two-e. He had a two-hander in tennis, so it's like it's not a huge adaptation, but he has it now. And he was going roll dink, roll dink, roll dink, speed up off the two-e. It was like, whoa. But he was just taking so much court and being so hyper-aggressive, and he was the best player on the court against Ben and Anna Lee. And as I was watching, I was like, wow, I think he actually might end up being the best player in the world. I think he might. Where before we would talk to Sam, remember, he'll be like a 5 to 10 guy?
Yeah.
I think that's wrong.
Yeah,
I think,
three for sure.
I think he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Now, I love Colin Schick, but I do not think that they will ever be a formidable pairing. I just don't see that happening. I think that it's really, really hard from my view to make up, because to me, what's happening is Jack often, he likes to speed up. He's also playing super fast, dinking once or twice. In fact, had a 100% drive third ball ratio. So, you know, who says you need to drop the third when you got that kind of drive? And he's setting a lot of balls up, and the ball seems to be coming to Colin, and Colin's losing those hand battles. And look, it's not his fault. These guys are fast. Wilson, Newman, these guys are fast. Like, if you don't keep the advantage in the point, but I just don't know if he's going to have that ability to win those hand battles from a slightly advantageous position. So anyway, Jack will be probably the best mixed player in the world within 12 months. Maybe the best men's doubles player in the world within 18 months. Not sure about singles yet.
Well, we know who won't be making top 10 or top 3 in pickleball soon, which will be Riley Opelka, a tennis player. Graham, do you know who Riley Opelka is?
I just saw him on the dink or the kitchen bitching about pickleball. He doesn't like pickleball. I don't care. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, and now I don't like him.
Travis, did you see what happened recently?
I mean, I didn't see the details of it. Can you
Yeah, he so he was playing a tennis match, and line judge called his forehand out, uh-huh. and he got in the kid's face and just like yelled and screamed at him, and I don't know what he said, but I guess they got a translator in and then said what the guy said, and they were like, yeah, we're gonna disqualify you.
That's Rublev. That happened to Andre Rublev in Dubai.
I think it just happened.
But Opelka's out. He's not playing.
Really?
He's not playing tennis matches right now.
Well, the comment was something along the lines of,
I promise you,
these line judges should go to pickleball immediately.
Oh, that's what he said?
That's what Opelka said. Okay. He said, these guys should be demoted to pickleball, like, immediately. That was his response.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, and then there was a tweet that said, no, Bush League linesmen should get demoted
just
to pickleball.
Just take away the maybe.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Okay.
I'm watching a lot of tennis again these days.
Bush League linemen should be...
Isn't this him?
Demoted to...
No, that's
pickleball.
Andre Rublev yelling at.
Oh, okay. So the picture
is a tweet.
Okay,
but it's about
that's
Rublev.
Riley Opelka.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, Riley Opelka is a phenomenal American tennis player. 7 foot plus, was kind of like the new Isner, but actually moved way, way better. Had a ton of injuries. He seems to have a lot of alternative interests. I don't think he's really played much for the last 2 years, quote unquote, based on injury. To me, it seems like he's kind of maybe, you know, got some cash, got some endorsements, and it's not that important to him. I could totally be wrong. I don't know. But that does happen. And, you know, he seems to go to a lot of fashion shows. Like I said, has a ton of different interests. But, yeah, I don't know what this thing is. Like, I mean, obviously, ours is called Tennis Sucks. With that said, I have a ton of respect for tennis players. I was one, not a very good one, but I was one. And, you know, I don't understand, like, if someone, like, fucking, you never see this. Look at the tennis courts. Look at this. Like, what is the
Maybe
the
they
harm?
Just do it to get some publicity because he's been forgotten about. You tweet that, and now suddenly he's relevant again.
Yeah, that's possible.
Tennis players get behind him. Pickleball players get upset at him. He's getting eyes.
And
I
doubt he really likes tennis very much. You know, like, that's the thing that's funny to me about it. But yeah, that's probably right, Graham. I would say that. You know, he just wants to stay in the mix.
Yeah.
With some commentary and
using pickleball to stay relevant.
You know, credit to Eugenie Bouchard. Like, she said it straight up. These are different skill sets. This is very hard. I want to get good. I have to practice a ton. And then, you know, really acknowledge the fact that the sport is exploding. And she's thrilled to be a part of it. Like, it was like, fucking, I've become like a Eugenie Bouchard fan. Not necessarily, obviously, because of her play. She's not very good yet, which she acknowledged. But her understanding of, like, what the sport is and what it's meant to the community, and her all of her friends love it. And it's like, chick gets it. She's not stupid.
Cool. That's it.
Good job, Graham.
Yeah, that was the end of it. Like the takes. You have anything to add, Graham?
No. Let's go try out this Vulcan Star.
Okay, great.
Well, we need to go do it right now?
Yeah.
Tennis sucks, everyone. Thanks
tennis
for listening.
Tennis sucks. Thanks for listening.